The level of racism and misogyny that I experience as a black member of parliament on the left is probably unprecedented. Black women, particularly in positions of power, are targeted for the most vile levels of hate and having the audacity to be in a position of power.
Lack of leadership is my favourite topic. But I think the key area in which there has been lack of leadership shown here by the Prime Minister is in relation to conflicts of interest.
Identity politics in this context, leading with ethnicity, is definitely something perhaps more expected on the left as opposed to on the right. Because it's a sort of pan-political viewpoint, people are not very comfortable when you show who you are in terms of your identity.
Black people in positions of leadership does not mean that we're going to see change. We're talking about a lack of political leadership. There are opportunists that are using this for political gain.
Millions of people have lost weight with personalized plans from Noom, like Evan, who can't stand salads and still lost 50 pounds.
Salads generally for most people are the easy button, right? For me, that wasn't an option. I never really was a salad guy. That's just not who I am. But Noom worked for me.
Get your personalized plan today at Noom.com. Real Noom user compensated to provide their story. In 4 weeks, the typical Noom user can expect to lose 1 to 2 pounds per week. Individual results may vary.
Many of us have those stubborn pounds that seem impossible to lose, no matter how good we eat or how hard we work out. My solution is PlushCare. PlushCare is a leading telehealth provider with doctors who are there for you day and night to partner with you in your weight loss journey. They can prescribe FDA-approved weight loss medications like Wegovy and Zepbound for those who qualify. Plus, they accept most insurance plans. To get started, visit plushcare.com/weightloss. That's plushcare.com/weightloss.
This podcast is a Roifield Brown production. Find others on iTunes.
All right. Yeah. Ladies and gentlemen, please remain standing for the singing of our national anthem.
The United Kingdom is a great country.
Never, never been a good bet to bet against America.
Hi, hello and welcome. This is Mid-Atlantic, your cross-the-pond dialogue connecting perspectives from the UK and beyond. Now, today I am sat in a very sunny, blissfully free spring-like Birmingham. And what we're going to do today, we're going to dive deep into a discussion that resonates with the very fabric of British society and its political landscape. Joining me on the panel is the insightful MP Claudia Webb from Leicester, the strategic brain that is Leah Brand from Broadstairs Consulting in Kent, and the ever analytical Corey Bernard, a political pundit hailing all the way from the UK's third city of Manchester. Our focal point today is the Right Honourable Diane Abbott MP, a trailblazer and the longest serving African Caribbean member of the UK Parliament, who has endured the most vitriol and hate mail than any other MP because of the colour of her skin, and some of it even from her Labour parliamentary peers. Last week, it was revealed that Tory donor Frank Hester said, "Looking at Diane Abbott makes you want to hate all black women." And he went on to say that the MP should be shot. I want to look at the impact this has made in a country where 18% of the population is non-white, but also a country where the Prime Minister and the First Ministers of Scotland and Wales are also non-white.
And I want to say that the result tonight is first and foremost a triumph for Hackney North and Stoke Newington Labour Party, who worked incredibly hard and fought a positive campaign. They fought a campaign on the issues, and they fought a campaign designed to unite rather than divide. I have come a long way to stand here before you tonight, and I am aware that a lot of hopes, not just in Hackney, but across the country, ride on our victory tonight. I hope and believe that I can fulfil those hopes, but I also know that nothing can take tonight away from the people of Hackney. This campaign and this result has been a victory for faith, a victory for principle, and a victory for socialism.
I think we should start with you, Miss Webb.
Mm-hmm.
Being a black woman in Parliament, is it just taken as de rigueur that you're going to get a certain level of hate mail? And do you feel that there is this level of hostility just because you are an MP of colour?
The level of anti-black racism and misogyny that I experience as a black member of Parliament on the left is probably unprecedented, and the scale of which Diane experiences it. Diane has experienced the most racism, hate than any other member of Parliament. And that was a survey that was done just before I became a member of Parliament. We already know that black women, particularly black women in positions of power, are targeted for the most vile levels of hate, targeted not just for being black, but also for being female and having the audacity to be in a position of power, and then having the audacity to be on the left as well. And I think that level of hate is what a number of us as MPs in Parliament have come to experience as well. And you have to ask, what is that about? And that is about the level of institutional racism that there is in society, but also the specific misogynoir, as we call it, against black women. To many in British society, particularly those of the political, media and corporate elite, do not want to be alongside black women. What we're seeing in terms of the leadership, then what is then reflected in society as a whole, is that leadership which is toxic and gives the ability for people to have license to then create the onslaught that they do against black women like myself. We're talking about death threats, as we've seen just this week with Diane. We're talking about vile, unspeakable hate, and just the sort of things that you just wouldn't expect to see in civil society.
You mentioned leadership, and I want to quickly just go on to you, Leah, but I do want to come back to you because you are so ideally placed, Claudia, to fundamentally talk about being a black woman in politics, in the public eye. Leah, one of the things that Claudia talked about was leadership, and really it's a lack of leadership. Why is it that the Prime Minister, who is of South Asian origin, is a Hindu, couldn't come out immediately when The Guardian reported what Hester said and couldn't say that it was racist? It was only Kemi Badenoch saying, of course it's racist, why he's changed his tune. Where is the leadership, considering just the week beforehand he had stood up at the lectern in front of Downing Street talking about extremism in the country?
Lack of leadership is just my favourite topic. And it is disappointing. But I think the key area in which there has been lack of leadership shown here by the Prime Minister is in relation to conflicts of interest. If the Tory party didn't need that money from Frank Hester, or the subsequent donation that he has been on the record for making, then I think it would have been a lot easier for Rishi Sunak to come out and say what he really thought about the comments, and also perhaps to stand up for all MPs when he says this is not acceptable language and this shouldn't have been said and there needs to be accountability for that statement. And I think the media tied the situation up in knots with respect to the apology. But fundamentally, if you can't address the conflicts of interest that arise in a way that doesn't give rise to toxic leadership, you also can't expect those same individuals to show leadership when they are a figurehead or have an opportunity to do the right thing or show that they're a person of integrity or show that they're leading people and as well as the country. And therefore, the way that we talk about people matters and the way that people are treated matters. And I think that's been the most disappointing thing about all of this, is that the discourse is so dire and it needn't be.
Corey, obviously there's just doing the right thing and just calling out a disgusting, vile comment and just saying, you know what, it's racist. It, it, It surprised me, and it shouldn't, how much of the regular mainstream media says, of course this is racist. It's the very definition of racism if you're saying somebody who happens to be female and black makes him hate all people who are female and black. It's the very definition. Obviously, there's a money issue. But how much of Rishi Sunak not wanting to call this out and say it was racism first off was him maybe trying to placate the right wing of the Conservative Party, which at best has been fractious at the moment?
The money issue isn't the reason why he couldn't use the R word until Tuesday evening, considering this blew up on Monday morning, right? The issue with that is the fact that they're not giving the money back. That's the issue there. But him not being able to call it what it is, not just him, clearly the government line that went out on the Monday and even on the Tuesday, all the way until Tuesday afternoon when Cammy Badenoch finally broke her silence, was clearly because they don't want to annoy, or they clearly think that, rightly or wrongly, that there is a key component of the ever-vanishing Tory vote that would get pissed off by it and might think twice and might make a upcoming defeat even worse. I think it really is that simple. And I think it's sad, it's pathetic, and Leah said it's a total lack of leadership. Really disappointing. Obviously, my politics lies. It was really disappointing, for sure. Obviously, the comments were horrible. They were disgusting. Racist. But the bigger issue for me was the fact that it couldn't say that on Monday morning. It took almost 2 days for that to be said. I think that was unforgivable.
Claudia, why do you think Kemi Badenoch came out and said what she said, this is racist, but now is seen to be somewhat zigzagging and saying that this racism row is all just trivia?
I think to some extent, she couldn't divorce herself from what was staring you plainly in the face. The fact that we have a diverse cabinet does not mean that we're going to have leadership on race in this country. Black people in power does not necessarily mean that we're going to see change. We know this. And it's not just about whether or not the Prime Minister and his cabinet were prepared to come forward and call it for what it was and then take action, but we've got an entire complicity in Parliament. This didn't start with the Conservative government. The treatment of Dianne by her own party leaves a lot to be desired. And because her own party was able to get away with the vile racism that they did of the Ford report, all laid out barely, then you can see how and why others in leadership in Parliament thought that they had grounds to continue that level of hate and racism.
Tired of ads barging into your favorite news podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay up to date on everything newsworthy by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/newsadfree. That's amazon.com/newsadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me, because you didn't use LinkedIn Jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates, like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
Millions of people have lost weight with personalized plans from Noom, like Evan, who can't stand salads and still lost 50 pounds.
Salads generally for most people are the easy button, right? For me, that wasn't an option. I never really was a salad guy. That's just not who I am. But Noom worked for me.
Get your personalized plan today at Noom.com. Real Noom user compensated to provide their story. In 4 weeks, the typical Noom user can expect to lose 1 to 2 pounds per week. Individual results may vary.
Is the Prime Minister proud to be bankrolled by someone using racist and misogynist language when he says the member for Hackney North and Stoke Newington makes you want to hate all black women?
Mr. Speaker, the alleged comments were wrong, they were racist. has now, as I said, the comments were wrong, they were racist. He has rightly apologised for them, and that remorse should be accepted, Mr. Speaker. There is no place for racism in Britain, and the government that I lead is living proof of that.
Mr. Speaker, the man bankrolling the Prime Minister also said that the member for Hackney North should be shot. How low would he have to sink? What racist, woman-hating threat of violence would he have to make before the Prime Minister plucked up the courage to hand back the £10 million that he's taken from him?
46 times Diane Abbott attempted to represent herself in the chamber. The whole public saw that. This was almost a George Floyd moment, but it's not the money factor that kept them from pursuing that agenda. You'll remember the report that the government issued under Boris Johnson, which said that there was no institutional racism. If you have a policy of a government that says there is no institutional racism, we all just need to get on with it, which is where Kemi's coming from, then to some extent, what she's saying is that was plain racism, but institutional racism doesn't exist. And you just have to understand the difference between the two is what she's really saying. And we have to get over ourselves to understand that this is isolated. This is not how society operates. And play to a particular set of ideologies, which says that if we're going to be in British society, then we play on their terms, not on our terms, not on black women's terms. We are here on their terms. And the whole point of racism is to regulate and control black people and the black community. We better understand, is what she's saying, that if we want to fit in, you need to behave in a way that the British expect you to behave. How dare you rise above your station? And if you rise above your station, you do so on our terms, not on your terms. That's how this racism is being played out. And Kemi's is a megaphone for that type of politics.
I didn't see how you could argue they're not racist.
Senior black Tory MPs were the first to call out the remarks hours before Rishi Sunak's intervention. Kwasi Kwarteng and Kemi Badenoch said the comments, as reported, were racist.
What do you think about your own party not calling them racist if you believe they're racist?
Well, look, the first thing I've said repeatedly, that we don't know what he said.
What about the money? Statements. Do you think we should...
We're running ahead of ourselves. But I think if someone says... That makes me hate black women. I don't see how those remarks aren't sexist or racist. I don't understand.
With the most senior female black minister calling the reported comments racist before the Prime Minister today, it's a reminder not only of Tory divisions, but questions too over Rishi Sunak's political judgment.
Claudia, were you referring to Kwasi Kwarteng? I don't know if it was the Monday or the Tuesday, but it's as clear as day, isn't it? That it was so easy for him to say it. There was no sort of equivocation. There was no sort of second guessing. He just called it what it is. And that shows you that everybody knows what it is. Everybody sees and recognizes what those comments were. They were racist. They were sexist. They weren't wrong. They weren't inappropriate. They weren't uncouth. No, they were just racist and sexist, period. Like, end of discussion. I watched that and I was like, you can just see the difference. Somebody who's obviously banned by the government line, government talking about its cabinet responsibility and all the rest of it. But you can see that's one strand. You can see that for everybody else with a pair of eyes, including members of parliament who aren't bound by that strict regime because they're not in government, as Kwasi Kwarteng, same party, but he could easily say for what it was. And it goes back to how they reacted 2 weeks before with Lee Anderson and the comments he made about Sadiq Khan. And again, the obstinance, the difficulty to just use the word either Islamophobia or even the conservative preferred term of anti-Muslim hatred. They couldn't use either of those terms. And again, I think it's for the same reason, going back to what you were asking me before, Rayfield. It's simply a case of they're in such a weak position electorally at the moment that they're just so scared of angering what they may feel to be a segment of the base. And yeah, again, goes back to leadership. You know, Rishi Sunak, when he became leader, and he promised integrity and accountability, and we had this image of a real leader and a proper leader coming in. But this weakness is not leadership at all.
Where's the reality of a proper leader coming in? I don't see it. The reason you've got the Conservatives behaving in this way towards Diane Abbott because it's her own party treats her badly, poorly. disgracefully. It's all written down in the Ford report. Nobody wants to take notice of it. And you would think there'd be some level of respect for the longest serving black female in the House, but there's none within her own party. Therefore, it gives license to others to treat her appallingly and badly. There is no leadership right now in Parliament when it comes to tackling the issue of race and racism.
I think that this is really quite fascinating, because the one thing which you said before, which I think is probably pertinent to where I want to slightly move the conversation, we have Lee Anderson and his ridiculous attack on Sadiq Khan, saying that he's in the hands of Muslim extremists and they're his pals in London. And then we have the vicious, nasty and thoroughly disgusting attack made on Diane Abbott. And that's happened at the same time as we have Vaughan Gethin being the first black leader of Wales. We have the first minister in Scotland who is of Pakistani parentage, Humza Yousaf. And then, of course, we have the Prime Minister.
I will now recommend to His Majesty the appointment of Vaughan Gethin as First Minister.
As First Minister, I will bring together a government that constantly makes the positive case for progressive politics. Deputy Lowe, I cannot bless this election nomination pass without saying something about its historic significance. I am, after all, the first elected leader of my party and indeed my country with an app in the name. We have, of course, today voted also to ensure that Wales becomes the first nation anywhere in Europe to be led by a black person. It is a matter of pride, I believe, for a modern Wales, but also a daunting responsibility for me, and one that I do not take lightly. But today we can also expect a depressingly familiar pattern to emerge, with abuse on social media, racist tropes disguised with polite language, people questioning my motives, and yes, they will still question or deny my nationality, whilst others will question why I am playing the race card. To those people, I say once more, it is very easy not to care about identity when your own has never once been questioned or held you back.
But I want to throw this out to you, Leah. How do we square the two things? Racism does exist, and one of the things which Claudia said was that maybe this is Kemi Badenoch's spin on it. There is racism, but institutional racism doesn't exist. If you are of that mind, the First Minister of Wales being non-white, ditto Scotland, ditto the Prime Minister, they're correct. Please make sense of it for us.
I don't think they're the same issue. I wouldn't quite say a flip side of the same coin. With the way that leadership has progressed, evolved, we see great diversity across the cabinet and across the government so that it's more reflective of society. Be that as it may, the individuals who you have highlighted, I think, would like to feel like they are special. They are, to some degree, better than their peers. So when we talk about Kemi, one of the reasons that I think that she struggles to identify with other black MPs is that she doesn't see their experience in her own. And so just because objectively we look out and we see two MPs who are female, who are of colour, I don't think that Kemi is able to resonate with Diane Abbott's experience. She's not able to resonate with Claudia's experience. She's not able to resonate with Dawn Butler's experience. And there's something there that is in that disjoin that I think is also true of Rishi Sunak. And I don't want to reduce it to class. I don't necessarily want to reduce it to education. But I can see how, as part of the trend of political expediency that lends itself to the toxic leadership that Claudia has outlined, that is due to wanting to be the exception rather than the rule. So yes, of course, we should celebrate having a cabinet that has enabled ethnic minorities to progress and rise through the ranks, have responsibilities and be visible. That is a wonderful thing. But actually, how representative are they truly of the people that they are supposed to be representatives for. It's worth for you to highlight the fact that in reality, Britain now has in every country somebody of colour leading, Rishi Sunak, Hamsa, and as you say now in Wales, Vaughan. I have to say, amongst a really right-wing set of people who I think are still in the minority in Britain, they just hate that for a start. I mean, I see it all the time online and all the trolling. But the moment you are in those positions and you identify as yourself, you will see hate. So the moment Sadiq Khan, as the London mayor, identifies his Muslim identity, he gets hate. Hamsa will get hate. The point is, what Kemi's saying, when you rise to these positions, you must be British, authentically British. And you mustn't try to be anything else because you must integrate. She speaks to a particular set within her type of politics. They have put her on a pedestal, even though they hate the concept of blackness. But the moment she decides to identify that blackness and project it, you will see that hate like no other.
Corey, I'm going to give you the last word, sir. So one of the, I think, powerful things about what Claudia said was it's a representation of blackness. If you are authentically yourself and you declare as an integral part of your identity that you are black, as opposed to just happen to just having black skin, that it's tall poppy syndrome. You're going to get shot down. Is that maybe one of the reasons why we can look to the conservatives and see the front bench, which looks pretty diverse? Whereas, yes, you have David Lammy on the front bench of the Labour side, but in terms of identifying with their roots and, let's say, with the ethnicity of their parents, the Tories don't seem to necessarily wear it as a pearl badge the way that Labour MPs do. And is that maybe one of the reasons why we have the Tories, the front bench, looking the way that they look as opposed to the Labour front bench? So I'm not saying it's without any level of diversity. And diversity doesn't just mean people of colour. But anyway, you have the last word, sir. Bring us home, Corey Bernard.
Yeah, I think there is definitely something in that. And not always true, so that caveat out of the way. Identity politics in this context, leading with, in this context, race or ethnicity, is definitely something perhaps more expected on the left, right? As opposed to on the right. And maybe because, I wonder, Claudia can correct me if I'm wrong, I wonder whether on the left you are expected to lead more with your identity because of that sort of greater affinity with identity politics. And on the right, you have not so much expected to lead with that. But I guess the issue here is, it's not really a left or a right perspective, this idea of bringing your blackness, in this case, to the front, or your ethnicity to the front. People turn their nose up to it on across the spectrum, I think is what I'm getting from what Claudia was saying. And so following on from that, because it's a sort of pan-political viewpoint, people are not very comfortable, basically, when you show who you are in terms of your identity. And because that isn't a prerequisite on the right, where it might be more of a prerequisite on the left, then that might be an explanation as to why there are more ethnic minority front benches on the right than on the left. It's not something I've thought about in that context. It's something I've thought about in terms of why is it that the Conservative Party seem to be doing so much better than Labour on that front. And I'm wondering, maybe that is, that's probably something to think about, something I'll probably continue to think about, considering I've only just started thinking about that aspect of why it might be just now. But I do wonder whether it's an expectation thing. On the right, you're not expected that. And so it allows more people to come to the front because that expectation isn't there, I wonder.
You know what, Corey, I lied. I'm going to let our guest, Claudia, actually have the last word. Claudia, in 30 seconds, sum up where the country needs to go so instances like this don't happen again. 30 seconds.
I really want to be clear that we're not talking about the majority of country that engages in this type of hate. We are talking about a minority, but we're talking about a lack of political leadership. There are opportunists that are using this for political gain. the Labour Party in challenging the Tories did not do so because they had some desire to tackle anti-Black racism. They were trying to score political points instead of trying to protect their very own. Black people in positions of leadership does not mean that we're going to see change.
Claudia Webb, MP for, is it Leicester East?
Leicester East.
Thank you for coming on to Mid-Atlantic and giving us your perspective of being a Black woman in Parliament who has stood shoulders to shoulder with Diane Abbott. We thank you for coming on, and we appreciate that you've come on very late in the evening after a long day and even travelling up from London and then doing constituency work. So Claudia Webb, MP for Leicester East, thank you for coming on to Mid-Atlantic. This has been me, Royfield Brown, with my muckers, my pals. We had Cora Bernard, who I actually had a very nice drink with in Birmingham. I showed him the bright lights of the Britain's second city yesterday. He was dazzled. He said they don't have pubs, they don't even have lampposts in Manchester and whatever. So I brought him to civilization. And of course, my cousin from another auntie, we had Leah Brown, Affairs Consulting. It's been me, Royfield Brown, with the team talking about the disgusting comment from Frank Hester last week. We have to not only confront them and to push back against this level of disgusting vitriol which is put out in the British public, in British dialogue, but we also need to just take a moment and recognise the fact that the First Minister of Wales is a Black man, the First Minister of Scotland is of Pakistani parentage and is a Muslim, the Mayor of London, a global city, is a Muslim, and the Prime Minister of Great Britain and Northern Ireland is of South Asian origin and is a Hindu. We live in complicated times, but we can't be complacent just because we have these figureheads in place. Racism still exists, and also misogyny is incredibly rife in this country, and we need to kill it stone dead. Take care, look after yourselves, bye-bye. Claudia, thank you for coming on to the show. Really appreciate it.
Hey, it's Paige DeSorbo from Giggly Squad. High quality fashion without the price tag. Say hello to Quince. I'm snagging high end essentials like cozy cashmere sweaters, sleek leather jackets, fine jewelry, and so much more. With Quince being 50 to 80% less than similar brands. And they partner with factories that prioritize safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. I love that. Luxury quality within reach. Go to quince.com/style to get free shipping and 365-day returns on your next order. quince.com/style.
Hey everyone, Craig Robinson here. I want you to check out the Ways to Win podcast, brought to you by Ford and the new 2024 Ford F-150 truck. On Ways to Win, Coach Cal and I will discuss leadership lessons we've learned. We know all about the days spent perfecting your craft outside of the limelight and have knowledge to share about how strength, inspiration, encouragement, and adaptability are the key ingredients to drive toward your dreams. And those same ingredients can be found in the new 2024 Ford F-150 truck. So check out my podcast, Ways to Win, and also check out the new 2024 Ford F-150 truck. Learn more at Ford.com. Built Ford tough, built Ford proud.